Welcome, everyone, to our premiere episode of the Four True Crime Idiots podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Ruben.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Michelle.
Are you guys ready to do this podcast?
Hey, yeah, I'm excited to do this podcast.
Very excited.
This is very weird.
I think it's just too...
We're not working right now.
Michelle has this giggles.
Always in the beginning, because I never know what to say in the beginning.
I'm excited about this podcast, guys.
I'm very excited about this podcast.
Me too.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a very long time.
Hopefully you guys enjoy.
Yeah. We put a lot of hard work into this. What case are we covering today, guys?
Today we're doing the Gary Ridgway case.
The Green River Killer.
The Green River Killer.
Yep.
I'm excited. Well, I'm not excited about him. I'm
just excited to talk about it.
Yeah. It's our first case.
This being our first podcast.
Yes. Please bear with us.
Yeah.
There's some great ones out there.
Gary Ridgway was an American serial killer in the Pacific Northwest. The media gave him the nickname the Green River Killer because the first five bodies were found in the Green River in Washington State near Seattle. It's been proven he killed 48 females.
48 total.
Although he's confessed to killing over 80.
So he's confessed to killing 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never been proven, though.
Never been proven?
They all say that.
Well, did they only find 48 females total?
I think they were just like...
Or that's just what they came across
with during... evidence. I think they called... What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, because I was going to say how you...
Yeah, like
how... To 80, but you can only prove...
80, 48.
Yeah.
So only out of... Okay, well, how many bodies total did they find?
Four?
No. I'm going to answer your question. I think they found 49 bodies. I believe.
Okay. So they found 49, but at that time of his arrest...
They only had 48.
They only charged him for the 48, and then later they were able to charge him for the whole 49.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but now he's saying that... But he was going around saying that he killed more than that.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But, they gave
okay. I see. All right.
The victims' ages range from 14 to 38 years old. Most were teenage runaways and sex workers.
Yeah, back then there was a lot of runaways, huh?
Yeah,
back in the 80s. Yeah, in the 80s, it was so different in the 80s because.
Yeah, I'm like, run away.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue with my parents and run away.
Yeah, or they're just, I'm going to go hang out at my friend's house and just practically live there, and my parents are not going to.
There is a lot of them now. Runaways.
It was a lot easier to run away back then.
It was, there was no. A lot easier and harder to find because, you know, there was no cell phones or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the 90s, it was still kind of.
Easy.
You know?
Now you can track it with your phone.
That's true.
A lot easier.
Last location. Ping.
I always get tracking my phone.
Who's tracking you, Mike?
I know who's tracking
you. Hello.
Big brother.
Big brother.
Big brother's coming to get me.
What do you do that they're looking at you, Mike?
Nothing. His killing spree started in the early 1980s and went into the late 1990s. He was arrested in November 2001.
It took him almost 20 years?
Yeah.
Or over 20 years.
DNA finally got him.
Good old DNA.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the 80s, at least they were smart enough to keep some of the evidence.
Right.
To get the DNA.
Oh, that's true.
I always say that's smart.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have a choice. I mean, in the 80s, everything was...
What made them decide to keep it?
Isn't it pretty much standard to do it anyway? I mean, you have to keep the evidence of whatever you find, you know, as far as
DNA.
Yeah,
but if you stored DNA, like, how did they know it was going to be, like, a factor later?
Oh, maybe they didn't.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe they just didn't know. They just kept it there. Well, maybe they do that to all unsolved cases. You know what I'm trying to get at? Like, just to see if another victim happened to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we have evidence DNA over here. All right, well, then why'd you ask, bro?
I'm joking.
Okay.
I always be smart. So.
I know, dude. You're always the smartest. Why are you the smartest?
He had three marriages that ended with divorces. His first wife, Claudia King Burrows, from 1970 to 1972. His second wife, Marcia Lauren Brown, from 73 to 81. His third wife, Judith Lorraine Lynch, from 1988 to 2002.
Third wife was the longest, right?
Yeah, his third wife. Yeah.
Just imagine realizing you married a serial killer.
Well, okay. I was watching the Lifetime movie of it one day. I wanted to say it's discussed later on, though, but like about him having, did he have a kid, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when he had, was his first, second, or third?
I think the second.
Okay. The second. In the Lifetime movie, mm-hmm. he even picked up the sex workers when he had his kid with him. Yeah. Time. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty.
That's messed up.
That is. Like.
How old was the baby when he did that?
The kid had to be, I want to say, between 6 and Sean's age.
That's the way he would lure him in, right?
Yeah, like he was, yeah.
With the child, yeah.
Yeah, I'm safe. Yeah, I have a child. You're safe with me.
Yeah.
You know, I guess any woman who sees a dude with a kid are going to be like, okay, you know.
Yep.
Scary.
He was married to his third wife when he was arrested, Judith Loren Lynch.
And again, I wonder what she thought.
Oh, I know, right? This dude was over here killing prostitutes and stuff when he was married?
Yes.
Like,
there was no evidence?
Well, I mean, as far as the wives?
No, I was like...
if he's married and he's coming in late, I mean, all he could say was out with the guys.
Right.
I mean, she's probably asleep or, you know.
I'm sure there was evidence. It's just he hid from the police very well or something.
Yeah.
He knew how to...
Unless he hid whatever he used to kill him.
Yeah.
And keep it, from the wife.
Strangled him.
He strangled him. Well, I mean, there's different ways.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
get cut out of his
knees. Yeah, I'm going to. with his bare hands? Like, he didn't use, ropes or anything?
He used, ligatures. Yeah,
I guess maybe there.
Holes, I guess.
Well, depending. What did he do for a living, did it say?
Right now when he got arrested, he was a painter.
Yeah, he painted trucks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what he did.
That was that in the Lifetime movie channel?
Yeah, it was, actually. They showed it. No, there was a scene where he was actually at work doing it when they arrested him.
Yeah.
And I was all like, oh, wow.
He was actually at work.
Yeah.
Imagine working with him, too.
And I didn't even know. That's kind of creepy, though, because, they always say you don't know who the person is that you're walking next to or whatever. Yeah.
What if he was, weird? Strange?
Maybe, but maybe in that, that's a strange dude, but he's a cool dude. You know what I'm trying to get at? He's a little bit of a weirdo, but, he's harmless until...
Little did they know.
I know. Until, stuff pops up. All of a sudden, you're friends with a serial killer.
That's kind of messed up.
Yes, it is. Can you imagine? Right. I mean, how would you all react if you found out you were friends with a serial killer or you worked with one?
Ben is kind of strange, I'm watching you.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching
you. I have my theories.
I'm watching all three of you all.
I think he killed most of the victims using a chokehold.
Chokehold. Yeah. So this from the back? Oh, my God. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. And none of his wives knew of the murders that he committed.
That can be discussed as a while ago.
Yeah, I think.
They must have not known.
I mean,
obviously they didn't know, but there was no signs, I guess.
I mean, they knew after the fact?
Well...
When he got arrested, or did a couple of them knew about it, or had an idea about it when they were with him?
Maybe the second wife.
The second one kind of had an idea?
I think later on we'll find out that he would, choke her.
When he would get mad and stuff?
Yeah.
He has one son from the second marriage. Matthew Ridgewell.
And that's the kid he used, right?
Yeah.
One son.
Yeah, when he would have him and he wanted to. Can you imagine? The little boy, he was young though. I think he was too young to realize what was going on. Or he didn't know what was going on.
He probably told the son that's my
but
friend.
But the thing of it is though, I don't know, I think it was when he was already divorced from the second wife.
But wouldn't even the prostitutes think that's weird?
I'm pretty sure they've seen the weirdest shit ever, I'm trying to get at?
That's true.
Can you imagine the weirdos they have to deal with? No way, man. But I know what you mean, though, because I think if I were to see a kid, I'm trying to get at, I'd be like, why you have your kid with you? I'm not,
This is strange.
Yeah, I would have been,
red flags didn't go up in their heads.
I guess at that time, they need the money, so it's just okay. Unless he told him, he's just I'm going to put him to bed right now when we get into the house, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Gary Ridgway was born on February 18th, 1949 in Salt Lake City, Utah. His parents' names were Mary and Thomas Ridgway. He's the second born of three boys. According to some of his relatives, his home life was somewhat troubled. Relatives have described his mother as domineering and have said that while young, he witnessed more than one violent argument between his parents.
So they were like, yeah. Maybe physical?
Maybe. No physical.
Like his dad would.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just, when he would get mad, it was just like, you know.
I always say he always starts off young.
Yeah, that's things. True. But did they ever discuss, like, how his brothers were? Or were they kind of like.
I don't even worry about his brothers or his siblings.
Yeah, they never said, like, when he was arrested, they didn't interview them or anything. Were they even close?
How about the Left Hand Movie Channel movie?
Hey, I only remember bits and pieces of it. I don't know all of it. And you know what? No, they didn't mention it in there either. About
I've never heard
any of yeah, right? They never really, well, you know. Well, I wouldn't know if his parents were alive around then. But,
probably just don't
want to
talk about
it. Yeah, can you imagine?
Right.
His father was a bus driver and would complain about the presence of sex workers.
That kind of explains everything a little bit.
His dad would complain all the time.
So his dad, so he would witness his dad beating on his mom, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe the way he beat her was just so bad. And then he's complaining about the sex workers. So, I mean, if you put two and two together.
I'm tired of these sex workers.
I mean,
well, back then they would call
them. Well, the bus, what kind of bus driver was he? He wasn't a school bus driver, obviously, because,
probably like a city bus driver.
Right, yeah. And he just sees what he sees.
Yeah, the prostitutes needed a. Right, you know?
Hey, they're people too, man. Just saying.
So he learned to beat on women and hated sex workers.
Yeah, from his dad.
Can't blame the dad, though.
Can't blame the dad for what?
With him killing all these women.
Well, you know, I see what you're saying, though, because I understand, you know, people have rough lives and stuff like that, and I get it, you know, you don't have a tough life, but that doesn't mean, exactly, like, you don't have to turn around and just, you know, because I had a crazy life and I had to witness this, hey, well, I mean, okay, but you have to go around killing people for it, you know, like, come on.
Yep.
Redwood was a bedwetter until the age of 13.
I read and heard that his mom washed his genitals after every incident that he peed himself.
Oh, my God.
13 years old.
I know, man. As soon as my kids hit 5, I'm all like, y'all can get in there on your own and wash your own. Go. Do it. You know? Like, oh, my gosh.
Well, that's pretty common among serial killers. Always been waiting until older age. What they say, you know what I mean?
13, though, that's pretty.
Yeah.
It's pretty late.
Yeah.
That's pretty, yeah. For the bedwetting?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and they always say when that happens, where even they're at that age and that's going on, sexual abuse is going on. That's what I heard.
Maybe, because
I always I've heard of lately that when they're saying like, oh, my kid so and so is like 10 or 11, still wetting the bed, like they want people to pay attention to that because they're associating that with sexual abuse in some way, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean.
That's just very strange.
But he's never said anything, right, about growing up if he was ever...
No.
Well, maybe she was sexually abusing him, because why are you watching your kid at 13 anyways?
Right.
I mean, he's 13, go, well, you know what, he's 13, he can go wash himself.
Exactly.
You know, go wash the sheets.
He can wash his sheets, yeah.
You know, like, he didn't have to, like... Let his mom know. You know, I'm trying to get it.
Yes.
Yes,
he's just terrible.
I don't know. That's kind of weird right there, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Did they ever say anything about how the mom was with him? Was the mom always real, like...
Domineering.
Domineering?
Like, controlling, I guess.
Which is another kind of, I guess...
Sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as an adolescent, he had feelings of anger and sexual attraction towards his mother.
Okay, so look, I'm just saying, the anger towards his mom could be because her fondling him every time, and he didn't know how to say no. You know, we have to understand, even them being teens, it's kind of hard to even, you know.
He had sexual attraction.
Puberty is hitting. Yeah. His mom's touching him, you know? It's like...
I'm sorry for laughing, people, but that's just nuts.
That is.
That's weird.
And he also fantasized of killing him.
He has silent. Maybe. We'll see. Look. Between witnessing his dad and hitting his mom, his dad bitching about the sex workers, and then his mom touching him every time he wet the bed. I mean.
Like you said, puberty kicking
in. Puberty kicking in. And him, like knowing it's wrong, but he's like, I don't know. I was never a 13-year-old boy. But, I mean, That's. I don't understand. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, how were you guys when you were 13?
Normal?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think when I was 13, I mean.
Yeah, we weren't warriors.
Not having thoughts about my mom.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Unless he viewed his mom as the starter of the arguments.
True.
Because she was a domineering woman. And maybe when, you know, the husband was acting up or whatever, and she decided, you know, she would always.
When he was 16 years old, he led a boy into the woods and proceeded to stab the boy in the ribs, which injured his liver.
So he started, that's when he started.
At 16?
Being violent, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just.
Okay, because look, yeah. Well, I mean, he stopped wetting the bed after the age of 13? At 13?
I think that's what I understand. But what did the boy do to that?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, not that everybody deserves to be stabbed.
Well, no. Well, like, how old was the boy? Did they ever say how old he was?
I believe he was 6.
Yes.
The little boy was 6?
Yeah,
Nah, that was just him being. Him being evil.
Yeah.
That wasn't.
That's it.
He wanted to see. He wanted to know how. Fantasizing about killing his mom. So maybe he was just poor little innocent bystander. Let me see how it feels.
And the boy survived the attack when you were all wondering.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a good thing he survived, you know, because.
That's good.
That should have set off red flags with cops or something.
Well, I know. He didn't get arrested for that?
Maybe he did.
I don't know if they had it back then, but juvie or something?
Yeah, like, were they due, like.
Maybe he was just released.
Ridgeway's IQ was recorded as being in the low 80s.
So he wasn't the brightest tool in the shed.
No.
No. Well, that's what they said, that he was IQ was like, you know what? They might have mentioned that in the Lifetime movie, too. I'm not going to lie. I think they might have brought up his IQ. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Y'all need to look up those Lifetime movies, man. I'm telling you.
Now that we've talked about his childhood, let's discuss his adult life. Ridgeway graduated from Taiyi High School in 1969. In either 1969 or 1970, he married Claudia Craig, who was his girlfriend in high school. He then joined the U.S. Navy and was sent to Vietnam, where he served on a supply ship, Assault Combat. During his time in the military, Ridgeway would have sexual intercourse with sex workers on contracted gonorrhea.
He didn't sleep with prostitutes over there?
Yeah.
Did he kill any over there?
What? That's a good question.
That's a good question right there, because... Maybe. I mean, at 16, he was ready to kill that little boy over
that's
there.
That's a good question.
You know?
Maybe that's where the 80 comes in.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true. And maybe that's why he confessed, because they can't really do anything.
Yeah.
That's true. Because it only recovered that 40-something. Because he would have been able to tell him, right?
Yeah.
That's true. I never thought about that.
Possibility.
That didn't stop him, though, because he kept having unprotected sex with sex workers.
He just kept on going.
Just kept going.
Getting diseases, kept on going.
Yeah.
But like, this boy wasn't worried about STDs? From the 40 that he killed, and possibly the 40 or something over there that he killed, he did not. That's nasty, man.
He didn't believe in protection?
Nope.
He did not care about the consequences?
I'm surprised his private didn't fall out, too. This dude is a nasty man.
Very.
A little bit in my mouth. All right.
His marriage ended within a year. His family and friends described him growing up as friendly but strange. He got married again in 1973 to Marsha Lorraine Brown and had a son with her 2 years later in 1975. And his second wife claims to have been placed in a chokehold by him.
There you go. You talked about that before.
Yeah. So when that happened,
there had to be.
Just when she kind of got an idea?
Maybe. Well, I don't know if she thought it.
Did they ever say, like, any of his wives had an idea that...
I haven't heard about that.
But...
I don't think they did.
But look, I was right about him being friendly and strange.
Yep.
You see? And that's how he was able to... Because in the movie, the way he was portraying his character around... In the Lifetime movie. But the way he was portraying his character when he was around, just like, you know...
Yeah.
He did come off as somebody, like, you would say, like, oh, he's a cool dude. He's just kind of strange, you know.
But They're all like that now, right? I mean, they're not now, but they're all like that.
Yeah, they're all, like, friendly. Like, yeah, like, you couldn't even, like, what? Him? Like, he was? But, like, Ted Bundy, too? Didn't they say he was a real...
The Times Square killer.
Yeah.
This is the his co-worker said that he was strange.
He was strange?
Yeah.
But he was, like, strange, but, like, you can just talk to him, like...
It was weird. Yeah.
And it's so weird, though, because sometimes... But sometimes it might surprise you, though, too, because you might think it's the weirdos... But it's the average Joe over here that's the serial killer, so it's like you never know.
That's another good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ben.
Yeah,
like Ben.
He's me? Ben. You
guys. Or Ben. I like the way he throws you guys.
Right.
Instead of just me.
Oh, he's just talking to you two. Yeah, I'm not included in it. Either. I'm not included.
He's kind of pointing towards you two. I'm funny.
He went like that. He like that.
His first two marriages ended in divorces due to infidelities by both parties.
They were both cheating each other?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this dude's coming in at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean...
So, they divorced due to infidelities, not getting beat?
She divorced him because he was cheating on her, not so much because she got beat by him?
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying, Abby.
Yeah.
It takes pretty a while, too.
Like, what? I mean, when I'm zoned down.
But yeah, but they were both cheating on each other.
Oh, my gosh.
And during his second marriage, he became very religious and would go door to door reading the Bible to people.
Really?
He'd also read the Bible aloud at work and at home. He insisted that his second wife follow the strict teaching of their pastor.
But they were both cheating on each other.
And he's killing.
And he's a serial killer who likes to kill sex workers.
And likes their services.
Oh, this
guy's a very big hypocrite.
No joke. That's crazy.
Very crazy.
And despite all his beliefs, he continued to solicit the services of sex workers.
Oh my god.
This is wrong.
That's just wrong. But I mean,
he's religious though.
Apparently. Obviously, he wasn't worried about God when he was killing these people. Yeah. Oh my God!
So his wife has to follow the strict teachings of the pastor, but not him.
Not him.
It only goes one way.
I mean, she kind of did it a little bit. She was cheating on him too. It does say on the Ten Commandments that thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yes.
He wanted his wife to participate in sexual acts in public and inappropriate places, even the places where his victim's body were later found.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Did he tell them that, or did she tell the FBI that bit?
I don't know.
They found him.
What a weirdo.
But he's religious.
He's very religious. He's very religious, but doesn't, but man, in public? I mean, inappropriate places, even in places where his victims' bodies were found. But like in public? But I wonder how long it took for that side of him to start showing before she even... Because he had to be playing a really good part of being a normal Joe for her to...
To go along with... she probably went along with it, right? Having the sexual acts in those places.
Well, I mean, if she wanted to... I mean, I guess, you know, maybe they did. Because that's her husband. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
But...
Gross.
It's just...
I wonder if there's something screwing her. If there's something loose in her head.
I don't know, man. Well, I mean, look. It all depends on what type of woman she is to be like, yeah, okay, I don't care. I'll have sex with you there in public. And I'll have sex with you. We're in a public.
But yeah, it's her husband.
So. It's her husband. So, yeah. I mean. But even if her husband, though, there's some women who'd be like, I'm not going to do that. Like, what the hell's wrong with you in public? What?
Of course.
Well, you want to do it in the parking lot here where no one lived? Like, no, what's wrong with you? But then there's some girls who are like, okay, well, why not? You're my husband.
I like the adventure.
You know? She's cheating too, so.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I know. I know that's my spot with my other love. Next one. Wow. That's one crazy marriage. Just on the second one, they didn't really describe his first one, right?
No. Just that he was. In Vietnam. having sex with sex workers.
And Ridgway admitted to having a fixation with sex workers and would complain about the prisons in his neighborhood.
He's such an idiot. Why are you going to go complain about him and then go have sex with him and then kill him? Like, you're dumb. I know.
Very.
Very.
He's very, very hypocritical.
Oh my gosh. I hate the sex workers in my neighborhood.
I can't believe you.
But I go and I scroll late at night. Y'all don't know about that.
They have good prices.
I bet he sees one of them and tells him shit and then comes circles back late at night. Hey, baby, how much? Man.
I can't stand that you're in my neighborhood.
Get out of here. Hey, I'll be back later. Be here at 2. But did he... Okay, now, did he kill all of the sex workers? Like, every single one? Or was it just, like, certain ones that he was just kind of like, you know what?
Just whatever.
Just...
any girl he picked up.
So it was just any girl, like, any girl that he picked up, that's the one that, like, they're, you know, because you know how there's some that, that...
maybe had types?
Yeah, like, they had types and he would kill them, but, like, you know.
I don't know about him.
Well, he had 14-year-olds or not.
Yeah, true.
So he didn't really have a type.
He didn't have a type. Asshole. It was just whoever, right?
Yeah.
Even though he complained about sex workers, he would take advantage of their services.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. And then again, he heard that from his dad, too, all his life. You know? But hey, no, but like, was his dad like that, too? Like, complaining about, not killing them, but like complaining about them and then going and, yeah, and then going in. And maybe that's why the fights always started, because his wife wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you're complaining about those sex workers?
She was stupid for washing her son's balls at age 13 or so.
No joke, man.
It's been speculated that he was torn between his lust for sex workers and his religious beliefs.
I love sex workers. I love having sex with them, but I am really religious.
Hey, maybe he was telling them about the Lord while he was doing it.
Huh?
Maybe he was telling them about the Lord while he was doing it.
That's right. Maybe I wonder if that's how he was able to get him in to begin with. You know what I'm trying to get at? You know, do you know our friend Jesus Christ? And maybe you don't know how he learned him in there, because, I mean, you know what I'm trying to get at? Like, let me save you. Oh, then he did that.
Before we do this, let me talk to you about this.
Man, dude, for real. This guy was something else. It was one sick little dude.
All I got from this was he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And a big hypocrite.
Big time.
Now let's move on to the murders, guys.
Throughout the 80s and 90s, Ridgway is believed to have killed at least 71 people, if not more, near Seattle and Tacoma, Washington. He later said he killed so many people that he lost count. And as I mentioned earlier, his victims were sex workers and teenage runaways, as young as 14, whom he would pick up along the Pacific Coast Highway south.
Okay, all right. So, okay, so this goes back to my earlier question about how many he... Okay, if it says to believe that he killed at least 71...
So they do they believe him?
Okay, so
they just can't link him, I guess.
No,
I guess they were only able to recover the 49 bodies that they recovered, and they were able to link him to that.
Right, yeah,
but they believe he killed at least maybe not the full 80 he's claiming, but at least a total of 71.
I'm guessing so.
It was just charged with who they found
and what they could prove.
They found them. Yeah, they will prove.
Well, there goes my theory. Yeah. It was overseas.
I know.
Well, it still might have.
It might have.
Okay, maybe some of them. Maybe a few over there. Maybe a majority here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Sorry. Where is he? Where? Of course, near the river. Like, how long it stretches that?
The Green River.
The Green River.
Let me see.
So it was just more or less. It was more or less in that area. So he was just dumping the bodies there. Like, he wasn't dumping them
the first five of them were
in the river.
In the river. Okay, the first is had him in different wherever.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Green River is a 65-mile long river. 65 miles.
Wow. So they only found five bodies there?
That's where he threw his first five.
His first five. And then the rest of them?
That's where he disposed of his first five victims.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's how his name got dubbed the Green River Killer? Because, of course, because he has to kill, like, what, two more to be considered serial killers? Or how does it say? What's that saying?
Just two.
Yeah. So they really? It went back to two?
Anyone
can become a serial killer now?
Well, you sound too excited. Now
well,
sound,
no.
You sound a little happy.
But no, because it's just like... I guess that would be because I serially killed two people. It's weird though, because it's
they have to be random, like people. They can't be like related.
So like a like.
What is the criteria?
I would say motive maybe. Like same like the way they're killed.
So they can be related?
You mean
I'm not sure.
So well no, I mean I think well, they can be related.
Has Google now, Google Ben.
Three or more, well here it says three or more. Maybe they changed it sometime along.
So it's three or more?
Yeah.
So we were wrong, people.
So it's three or more. That's what I thought. So and then okay, I was reading down here, so I answered my own question. I was gonna ask. I'm not gonna say it until we discuss it.
Jumping.
I am. I jumped the gun.
She knows the future, people.
I don't have.
But it says right here, while most authorities say a threshold of three murders, others extended to four or less than to two. So I guess it's just
two. Okay, so I guess it's you're considered one between two body counts and up
or more. Yeah.
And it's when it's being done for S&Gs, not for motive or anything, right?
Not like a hitman or
like I killed him because he, you know.
So the mass murderer is not a serial killer.
Yeah, it's one place.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Differs from a mass murderer, spree killer, or contract killer.
Okay.
And it's just, they're...
Because they have motive?
Abnormal, psychological. They're just...
Crazy?
They get off on...
Killing?
Yeah.
Killing.
And majority of his killings were from 1982 to 1984. Ridgway would show pictures of his son to his victims to get them to trust him and to getting in his vehicle so they could lower the guard.
Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, back then, you know, they thought killers were
monsters.
Animals. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know,
exactly. Was ravaging beasts.
So if you're showing your pictures of your sons, you look normal.
Yeah.
You were just a normal dude.
Yeah.
It's probably what he probably used with the younger ones. Too.
True.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, I got a son, don't worry. I got you.
Yes.
He would engage in sexual activities when afterwards he would kill them either his hands or by using the ligatures. He killed a majority of his victims in his home, his truck, or a secluded area.
You wouldn't even take him home?
Yeah.
Well, that's, because that's when, that one scene I was telling you about, he had his son with him and they went to his house.
Wow.
And I want to say... Yeah, that he put the little boy to bed. Like, he had the little boy entertained. I don't think the boy went to bed, but he entertained the little boy, like, here, watch TV.
Yeah.
And
their business.
I think he did kill her there at his house. I want to say, like, he waited until the little boy was asleep, and then he, like, wrapped her up, and, yeah.
That's just...
I know. Can you imagine?
And where was his wife?
That's the thing, though. I don't think they were married at that time.
No, he was single at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
They were already divorced.
Yeah. That poor guy, poor little dude, didn't know what was going on, what his gross ass dad was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know he was taking him home too. I thought, you know, maybe in the car or hotel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most of the bodies were dumped in wooded areas around the Green River, Seattle Tacoma International Airport, and other dump sites in South King County. There were two confirmed dead and two suspected cases in Portland, Oregon.
Wow. So they're by the airport over there?
Yeah.
Where's the security?
Hey, so like, so when he took him cross state, that wasn't, that had to be the FBI on that or the cops in that area. So they had to kind of like come together, right? You know what I'm trying to get at?
I guess they,
because if he was spreading him out in different cities or different counties?
I think he killed him in Washington and just drove him cross state lines.
To confuse that too, what?
I guess to confuse the authorities.
Maybe just so they won't get found.
Yeah. Unless you had a trip to go to Oregon for.
And he would just leave the body there?
Yeah. Maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, when the cops from those counties or whatever found it, they would have to get a hold of the FBI? Because at this point, is it the FBI investigating or is it just the regular cops?
I'm sure the FBI got
it. That makes me look stupid.
But that's sad though. When did the FBI join?
They did a psychological profile when the first five victims were found in 1982, and they didn't get officially involved until the summer of 1985.
Okay.
After two victims were found in the suburb of Portland, Oregon, so it wasn't until they crossed state lines that
Once they discovered the bodies over there in Oregon, is when they decided that it was a serial killer that they were dealing with.
Yeah.
And they decided they needed to. Okay.
They didn't get involved. So they crossed state lines, and that's what prompted them to.
Okay.
And then in 1986, 10 additional FBI agents were assigned to the investigation.
Okay.
So, 85, 86. Basically, across state lines, it gets a little bit,
federal?
It's federal, yeah. And then the bodies of his victims were often dumped in clusters, sometimes poles, and usually dump sites.
Yeah.
The worst one. And he would return to some of his victims' bodies and have sexual intercourse because he was a necrophiliac.
That's gross, man.
That's you know what? That's what Ted Bundy did too, right?
Yeah,
that's so nasty. What gets in their head when they do that? I'm gonna leave her here. I'm gonna come back later.
How does that turn someone on?
That's what my point is.
It's just
head problems.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's a double. This guy was nasty. He's had unprotected sex since 70, I don't know what. I know. And then until now, obviously, probably, I'm sure. Oh, wow.
Does he at least use protection against with the dead bodies?
Probably not.
He's not doing it with live bodies. He's definitely not with the dead bodies.
That's gross, man.
Very gross.
He will later explain that he did not find necrophilia more sexually satisfying, but it reduced his need to seek another living victim. This limited the chances of him getting caught. So it was more of a...
See, do you think that maybe that's what contributed to for them taking forever to find him? Because if he was going back to having sex with them, and he was saying that that's the only reason why he was doing it was so because it was making him not go in... And
oh yeah, so there's a chance of getting caught.
Yeah,
picking up new people.
Yeah, I'm just gonna see what I can do with her. Until the body drops. That's gross.
Don't puke here on the set, Michelle.
I can't help it. This guy's gross. Okay.
Reggie would contaminate the dump sites with cigarettes, gum, and written items from other people. Probably tried to love the trail.
Yeah,
but I guess DNA wasn't a big thing back then.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like a lot of the cold cases back in the day are getting reopened now because of DNA. Yeah. The DNA, but because now we have the equipment to catch it.
Yeah.
But before then, they couldn't do it.
Back to my point. How would they know how to keep it?
That's true.
Very smart by the detectives.
I should said it earlier. Maybe it was his protocol.
Oh, yeah.
To keep it. Especially if it's not a closed case, I'm trying to get at. But I think they just store it in a regular Joe Schmo box from what I've seen on the true crime shows that we watch.
That's true.
And in the 80s, I don't know. In the 80s, I'm sure in the box, but if they find a fingernail, I don't know what they put it in, I guess. Plastic bag and whatever, just keep it like that.
Yeah.
Have a storage in the storage.
Maybe the storage is set in a temperature. Yeah, no, I'm just saying that I'm pretty sure back in the day in the 80s, they store it like how they're storing it now.
Yeah.
But they just keep it. Process. Yeah, they just have to keep it until they're able to.
Well, now, sure, it's more modern. They keep them better. Cardboard boxes.
But you know what's an either better question, though? Let's say, just not so much a serial killer in general, but say a murder happened and they're looking for a suspect back in the day. So, okay, we found him, but, he's not confessing to it. And they have DNA.
Yeah.
Now, how did they do it back then to do it with the DNA? Did they still use the cotton swab, how they do in some cases?
They keep it
loops. Yeah. And that's how they did it back then and still do it to this day?
Probably.
It's a good question.
Yeah. It's very intriguing.
It is. I'm going to go to our local Harlingen HPD. Hey, guys.
I don't want people to know where we live.
Well, I don't live with you.
I don't live in Harlingen, people.
My local HPD.
Somewhere in
Texas.
Texas.
And he also transported bodies across state lines into Oregon to confuse authorities.
So that's why he was doing that. Well, obviously.
Yeah, he was just messing with the authorities.
He did a pretty good job, too, because, it took him a while to find him.
So,
he did a pretty good job, too. Not confusing him, but like, you know.
Throwing him off
this trail. For him having a low IQ, he was pretty smart. That's what I'm trying to get at. You know what I'm trying to get at? You know, like, damn.
He must have been street smart.
That's very street smart.
Just didn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
And on an interesting note, investigators interviewed Ted Bundy to help him profile Ridgway.
Oh, so they got him to help him.
Yeah, because it was, I guess, in the movie. I remember it to pieces. Yes. I remember them having to go and talk to him. It was because they were having a hard time trying to determine what type of guy he was. I guess, like, profiling him. So the next best guy to go to who was doing that, too, was Ted Bundy.
Yep.
So, and he gave him the lowdown, like, you know.
Profiling.
Yeah, like that. You're going to look for this type of guy, and he's going to be like this, and you're going to have to do this, and you're going to, you know.
Yeah, what to look for.
Yeah, what to look for.
If any signs.
Yeah, because he was pretty much doing the same thing that Ted Bundy was doing, right?
Basically.
So, Ted Bundy was before him, or they were doing it at the same time?
Before him.
Before, he's locked up.
He's locked up, right?
Yeah.
So.
There's actually a book on it called The River Man. The River Man, yeah.
How Ted Bundy helped?
Yeah.
Get a killer to catch a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You have to do what you have to do.
Time. Not key. No, not key. You know what?
Yeah.
He's OG.
Yeah. Serial killer.
So.
Well, there's H.H.
Holmes. Well, not OG, but.
I was going to say, there's H.H. Holmes. I'm going to be like, well, they couldn't get H.H. Holmes because that was a long time ago, buddy. If he was still alive.
Michelle, shut up, Marie.
Stop making a new
My favorite fucking Michelle.
Bundy offered his opinion on the psychology, motivation, and the behavior of the killer. He suggested that the killer was revisiting the dump sites that had sex with his victim, which turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Bundy also told investigators that if they found the fresh grave, they should stake it out to see if it comes back. I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if they actually did that or not.
Right.
But I think it was just But I think at one point, I think Bundy got after the... No. I don't know how long he helped him, though, to be honest with you. I don't know if it was just like for that... Help? Yeah, like, I don't know if it was just like a little, like...
A little, like a visit or two?
Yeah, like a visit or two. If he was actually like, you know, like, okay, well, like, this is going to be his next move, and...
Yeah. It might have been like a quick help, you know?
Yeah, like, this is... Wow.
He was right on some things, though, so...
Yeah. I wonder, too, when... I'm pretty sure he was listening to the news and all that. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was, like, kind of worried that they were hot on his trail, too. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Who, Bundy?
No. The Green River Killer.
Oh, yeah. True.
You know, when they're discussing it on TV, I'm pretty sure he's looking
at it. I wonder if they told the media that they were talking to Bundy.
Probably not.
Just keep it on low. Yeah. Yeah, because the Lifetime movie, I think it's based off of the detective point.
No, I don't.
I'm always bringing because the Lifetime movies are always doing the true crime stuff. I'm telling you, Netflix needs to get on that a little bit more. Yeah, but I think it was based on the detective or the FBI agent that was in charge of the whole case. His point of view on how he didn't like what he went through and. Yeah. And all that, so he, I think he was the one part of the book, too.
I see.
But, yeah, he was the one, so... But I'm wondering if this guy, when he was watching the news, he was like, oh, no. Did I clear everything up in that department, you know, in that dump site?
He really didn't care he was doing stuff there.
But, curiously, but, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, what if his finger accidentally touched, like, a cigarette butt and just be like... Did they ever say, like, exactly what DNA it was? Or was it just, like...
I think they didn't mention semen.
Was it semen?
I believe so. Well, we'll see.
Or is it a cigarette butt of his own? Because didn't he smoke too?
Oh, yeah, they would use cigarettes. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. All right.
Ridgway was arrested in 1982 and in 2001 on charges related to prostitution. He became a suspect in the Green River killings in 1983.
So he was already a suspect in 83.
Yeah, they probably had the list of Johns, you know, maybe.
So that's how he got profiled?
Maybe? Yeah. I believe I did talk to him a couple of times.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was able to feed him.
They could have saved.
I know. They had him in their grasp in 1983. And they let him go because they didn't have enough DNA. But then again, he was eluding them, too, you know?
Yeah. That's sad.
Man, that's crazy.
And he also passed the polygraph test in 1984. Oof. Then a few years later in 1987. So, you know, police took hair and saliva samples from him.
Oh, so that's how they had the DNA.
Maybe.
Okay. So I'm guessing...
How he passed the polygraph test.
They say it's easy.
They say it's easy to do it. If you're real calm and...
calm and collective.
Yeah, and like really be sure about your answers. Like be real like... Not be so like nervous when your answers are like... Where were you on this day? It says that you were here on this day. Is that true? And we were like, well, yeah, I was there.
So future reference, Michelle will pass a polygraph.
Probably. I probably would.
Can you bid?
Probably not.
No. I don't know. Honestly, yeah.
As soon as they start asking you the right question, your heart rate probably...
Yeah, I would have been like this. Well, yeah, I said there, right? I was there.
Wait, what did I answer before?
What was my answer previously?
Did I say yes? I mean, no. I'm old. My brain's foggy. I don't know.
No, I fell the other day. I got a concussion.
You got a concussion?
Yes. That hurts.
I would have been like that night was a blur. It was one crazy night. I don't remember nothing.
His third wife said he would go to work early in the morning and speculate that that was when he committed some of his murders. She said she didn't know of the Green River Killer because she didn't watch the news.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. Everybody watches the news.
I don't watch the news. Yeah. But I don't watch the news, but I'm aware of what's going on, though.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, yeah, there's no social media or anything, right. But, I mean, there's newspapers.
And
I mean, she people
didn't care about the news, you know?
People will probably talk about it. She probably just zoned out, I guess.
Probably didn't really care.
I mean, she probably didn't really, at that point, didn't care about this guy. It was just, you know, oh, you're going too to work so didn't. Early in the morning?
Yeah.
Thank God. Bye.
Well, they didn't have a problem with each other.
They got along real good?
I guess. They're still married.
People in the area aren't afraid. They ain't talking about it.
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, her neighbors aren't saying, like, hey, you need to be careful. You know, like... I get it. People don't watch, like I said, I don't watch it, you know, but I am aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
There I am, asking my mom. Am I going to have to be afraid of this?
So your mom's just...
My mom's the one who knocks the fear out of me. Like, do I need to worry about this? Now you're good. Okay. And that's all the news I need to know. If I hear something going on that I need to, you know, I'll ask her.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's okay. Okay. I'm good. So sad. The news is so sad. That's why.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Of the known 49 people he killed, 3 were killed while he was married to Judith Mawson. In an interview, she said that she felt as if she'd saved lives by being his wife and making him happy.
And so she's like,
but he killed while he was married with her, so she wasn't happy. No, no joke.
Being sorry, Judith.
By being his wife and making him happy. 3 were
not happy enough.
Not happy enough. I think even. Look, like you had said, because that's the longest, you know, so maybe, I'm not saying that she didn't make him happy.
Yeah.
And maybe she did satisfy him in the bedroom department.
Yes.
But he was in such a mind state as he was. It didn't matter how much he was in love with her. And, you know, he was still going to do it.
The urge
to kill and, you know.
Yep.
But okay, I wonder.
And he's still having sex with dead bodies.
Well. Oh yes, my God! And then he's going home to her.
And sex with her.
Oh,
so she's not
poor Judith.
Happy, not happy.
I wonder how she felt when she found that out. That's probably why she divorced him.
Well, you divorced because
he was killing. Well, but there's some people who hang in there. There's some girls hang there with their dudes. You know, no matter they can
like
right Clinton. In front of their face, and they're just like.
Stay with Bill Clinton?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to get it.
Oh, wait. We don't want to talk politics, right?
No politics here, buddy. But you got my point, you know?
Well.
Yeah, so that's probably why she stayed with him. Well, he got... And then I bet you anything, when everything started popping out and all the evidence and everything that was describing, she's probably like, the fuck did you... You went out, you came back to me?
How dare you?
That's... Ugh,
yeah, that's gross.
That's gross, man.
Well, she found out, and then she said that she kept him happy.
And making him happy.
So she's still delusional.
She's very delusional. So it says here, okay, she said that she felt that like she saved lives.
Yeah.
So she felt that the moment she married him, that whole time, from 1988 to he got caught, he wasn't doing anything. That he was going to work, coming home. Now, so she felt like... early in the morning is when he was going and killing them?
I'm thinking so.
But, like, how early in the morning, though? Because I don't know how sex workers work. Like, I don't know if they start popping up, like, at 6 o'clock in the morning and work all day or all night.
They have shifts.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know those ones that have, like, the pimps?
Well yeah, I know.
You know what I'm trying to get at? They have
shifts, probably.
Yeah, you know.
How do you know?
I don't know, Ben. Don't you dare. Don't you dare accuse me of this nonsense.
But, so she, poor thing. She thought she...
But she wasn't.
No, there was no one. No one was going to stop this dude.
Nope.
How was he arrested?
The samples that were taken in 1987 were later subjected to DNA profiling, providing evidence for an arrest warrant.
Oh.
It was from the hair and saliva sample.
Yep.
But... No, I'm just confused as to... okay, if samples were taken... Okay, samples were taken in 1987?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But why did they take forever to subject to DNA profiling, though?
Because they didn't have DNA.
They didn't have DNA testing.
Like the, not the testing, but like, yeah, the testing. Like the technology.
Yeah,
science. Oh, so yeah. They waited until 2001?
That's what I've always been intrigued about.
They had
how
to...
How they kept the DNA...
That's yeah. That's it
for future like technology to
yeah
come around. It's interesting.
That is.
So that's how they. So I called. Yeah, they detect and save the DNA.
And on November 30th, 2001, Gregory was at the Kensworth truck factory where he worked as a spray painter when police arrived to arrest him. He was arrested on suspicion of murdering four women nearly 20 years earlier. After first being identified as a potential suspect. When DNA evidence conclusively linked semen left in his victims to the saliva swab taken by the police in 1987.
So it was from the semen. I knew it.
Oh.
I knew it, Michelle.
Okay, buddy. Well, I'm just like, but no, okay. It was from his
semen. Yeah. So they kept the semen too?
Yep.
From the victim, but they had his DNA swab. They had his saliva swabbed, right? Yeah. So they leaked the two? Damn.
The four victims named in the original indictment were Marsha Chapman, Opal Mills, Cynthia Hines, and Carol Ann Christensen. Three more victims, Wendy Caulfield, Deborah Bonner, and Deborah Estes, were added to the indictment after a forensic scientist identified microscopic spray paint spheres as a specific brand and composition of paint used at the Kensworth factory. Specific time frame when these victims were killed.
Okay, so they found the paint?
He was
samples of paint?
Samples of paint.
On him?
Yeah. On the victims.
On the victims. Ooh. Yeah. So he must have gone maybe after work. He was picking them up.
Maybe.
Right, for him to have the paint on him.
Yeah. And these were the five victims from 20 years ago?
Maybe the first five.
The first five?
Maybe.
Any other question, Michelle? Another good question.
Well, no, because...
I don't know why I said that. Sorry.
Well, they didn't know much off the top because he only got originally indicted for four.
True.
Yeah. Wow. So he was doing it. Oh, but unless the paint was hard to get off, too. You never know from the clothing and stuff like that. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
So maybe, like, no, maybe not really a specific time as to when he was getting them.
Yeah.
But he had the stuff on him maybe just from the clothes, you know?
It wasn't very smart.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't know he was going to get caught that way.
Because, I mean, he drove a truck, right?
Yes.
Do people who work in that department, do they need to take equipment home or anything? Not really, right? Because it's there?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about truck painting.
Right? Like car painting and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like...
It was on his clothes.
Oh, his clothes. So, like, maybe you're all right. Maybe after work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still fresh and it's still... You're able to, like, flick it off or, you know?
It peels off.
Yeah. Because I would think...
Or smeared off.
I would think... Not from his hands, though, because I would...
His clothes.
Gloves, right?
Because it's microscopic.
Yeah.
He doesn't know he's
eating
it. Yeah.
So it's real small.
I'm assuming it rubbed off from his clothes.
Probably.
Maybe from when he's cleaning. Maybe he's cleaning himself off in the truck and they're, like, landing on it, and he doesn't realize, like, you know...
He's leaving evidence.
Or he's,
oh, yeah, that too.
He's not thinking too much about it, because it's, like you said, like, little flecks. So, like... You know, well, they're not going to, you know, it's not going to. Then you have these workers, you know, and people, girls who have kinky hair. Anything can get stuck in there.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Depending on what they're wearing.
This is all for part one of our Green River Killer episode. Please follow us, the 4 True Crime Idiots podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and please come back for part two next week. Until the next episode,
always be aware of your surroundings.
Stay safe.
Stay vigilant.